Father, thank you for bringing us together one more time to hear your word. Let's take it in like food and use it to nourish our soul, so that it may guide us and direct us in all ways that you want us to go and do your work. Thank you for all you've done for us. Be with those who couldn't attend class this morning. Guide Jim as he speaks. In your name I pray all these things. Amen.
Amen. We're in one of the most important chapters in the Bible today. I want to repeat that. We're in one of the most important chapters in the Bible today. And that one doesn't work. One of the most important chapters in the Bible to understand the person of God. In this chapter in the Bible, you will understand the person of God better than almost anything. John, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation is to explain the person of God. That's why he wrote those Gospels. So many people are mistaken on the person of God. We don't have three gods. We don't have four gods. We don't have a polytheistic God. We don't have many things that the people worship. I heard one of the leading preachers here a while back that everybody listens to every day on television, on radio, mixed up badly on the person of God. He said, God the Father, Jehovah, made God the Son. Now, what's wrong with that, Brother Roger? Jehovah created himself. And Jehovah God is not the Father. Jehovah God is who? Jesus Christ. That's who Jehovah is. That's who Jehovah is. Jesus fulfilled every Jehovah title, and we see at least two or three Jehovah titles fulfilled in this chapter in the book of Revelation. Okay? God the Father did not create. God the Father, Jehovah, did not create God the Son. It didn't work like that. He didn't create the Messiah. The Messiah, which is Jesus Christ, which is Jehovah God of the Old Testament. All right? Now, last week, I told you that since we live in the computer age, we can explain the Trinity and the Trinity of God and the Trinity, or the triuneness of God and the Trinity of man, so much easier. A computer has hardware and software, doesn't it? What's the hardware? What is hardware? Again, what is hardware? That which may be touched, tangible, something tangible. What is software? Something you can't touch. Something that's invisible, that is there. It's real, but it's there, but it can't be touched. Now, God the Son is the hardware. That's Jehovah. The Father and the Holy Spirit are software. You, each one of us, the hardware we see is our bodies. But that is not all of us there is. We have software, which is spirit and soul. Okay? Spirit and soul. Now let's go to the book of Revelation and supply this a little bit. I like to brag on Jesus every time I get a chance. Do you know that? Because he saved me. I like to brag on him every time I get a chance. This is one of the most important places in the Bible on the person of God. One of the most important chapters in the Bible on understanding the person of God. Revelation 19 and 1. And it starts out with a little Greek idiom saying meditate. Meditate means what? Meditate. After these things. All right? After these things. Everything from Revelation 1 through up to chapter 19. Now, the book of Revelation is very confusing to many people, because it'll say something and then it'll explain it later in another chapter. Or it'll give you a little look, open a door in one chapter, and it'll jump on to another. It is not in chronological order. The book of Revelation is not in chronological order. The chapters are. Now, right here in chapter 19, it says Jesus wins. Jesus wins. That's what it says. Jesus wins. There's a battle in the book of Revelation between the two seeds. The two seeds. What are the two seeds? the seed of God, which is Jesus Christ, and the seed of Satan, which is the Antichrist. The seed of Satan will be tangible. He is going to be real. It's what we call the Antichrist. The spirit world is just as real as the floor you stand on and the seats you sit on and the sun that shines upon you every day. It's real, but it's software. The spirit world is software. Do you understand that? Angels are not software, are they? Angels have form. Spirits don't have form. They seek to dwell in human or animal flesh, don't they? All right? Now, Satan will, just like God did, God overshadowed Mary and brought forth the Messiah. The Messiah, Jehovah, became flesh. John 1:14. John 1:14, Brother David.
Oh, okay. Try to look this up to get it.
Marilyn, John 1:14. I know you can do it. Chi is and, ho is the, logos is the word, but is a Hebraism. John, the Gospel of John, and all of his books are Hebrew, are full of Hebraisms. That's why many people don't understand it. The word, all right, in Hebrew is ha, the bar. What is that in Hebrew? The word. And the Hebrews use this to say what? Jehovah. They don't speak the name Jehovah, nor can we really speak it. That's what it is. It's Havavar, the word. So when John uses the term the word, he means the Jehovah. And you go and look at that in his writings. And the Jehovah flesh he became. In the beginning, absolute beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. John 1:14, and the Jehovah flesh he became. John 1:18, how did he lead himself out? It says, comes from ekenago there at the end of that verse. And God led himself out of eternity into space and time in the person of Jesus Christ. Then we go to John the 8th chapter. He repeats the same thing. John the 10th chapter, he repeats it again. Now in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter, he's doing it one more time. So let's pay attention. If John said this that many times, it's important for us to understand it completely. After these things, I heard, as it were, a loud voice and a great multitude in heaven. These are saved people up there in heaven, singing with angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That, what is that word there, Brother Roger?
God is God.
God is God. It means praise God. Glorify Jehovah. God is God. Hallelujah. That's a Hebrew word. John's throwing so many Hebrew words at us. When people knew Greek and Hebrew a long time ago, some of the more liberal scholars did not believe the Gospel of John ought to be in the Bible because there's too many grammatical mistakes in it, in Greek. The grammatical mistakes are Hebraisms. They aren't mistakes. They are mistakes on purpose. Because John is bringing the Hebrew. He's letting us understand that the Hebrew God is Jesus. That's who he is. The Hebrew God is Jesus. The ones that say they say that they believe and the one that they say that they worship is the one they crucified. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. What would be that in Hebrew? Eloheinu, wouldn't it, Brother Roger? Belong to our God. It's in the possessive case. All of these belong to God. All of the praise and glory and everything belong to God. Verse number 2. Because of his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot, the devil's courtesan. We talked about the devil's courtesan last week, didn't we? Many, many courtesans. Courtesans do what? How many courtesans were there in the Bible? Name some of them now again. How many courtesans? Who were some of the courtesans? Who was a very famous courtesan in the lineage of Christ?
Mary.
Huh? No, in the lineage, not Mary. Huh? Well, Ruth was trained like that, but go back to Rahab. Who met the spies as they came into Jericho? Rahab. These were trained in dance and in song. They even did magical tricks sometimes, all kinds of stuff. They were entertainers. Entertainers. Yeah, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was a courtesan. All right. Jezebel was a courtesan. That's what she was. Jezebel was a courtesan. There are many courtesans in the Bible. Many, many courtesans. Herodias, Herod's wife, trained her daughter. She was a courtesan. And she trained her daughter to be a courtesan. They would stand up and dance and go on and everything else, and then they'd go to the parlor with the highest paid guest or the king or whatever. The great harlot, the great courtesan of Satan. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ died for his bride, didn't he? Yes. The devil destroys his bride. Different character. Different character. For God so loved the world, and Satan destroys and thrashes everything. The world that was thrashed by Satan. The world that we live in today, Satan began to destroy it in the garden. How many Edens were there? How many Edens were there in the Scriptures? How many Edens? Two. Now, name the two. Name the two Edens. Where were the two Edens? Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah talk about one Eden before man was placed in it. Who was there? Hallel, Lucifer was there. And he destroyed that Eden. And then God prepared another Eden. Another Eden was the throne room for Lucifer. That was where he ruled from. Where was Adam going to rule from? His throne room was a garden of Eden, which God prepared himself. Okay? And Satan tore that one up too, didn't he? He's still working on it today. Now we're going to find out that God's going to take it all over. He's going to straighten it all out. He has judged the great harlot, the great courtesan, the whore of Revelation, who has corrupted the earth with her immorality. We talked about last week and the week before about this religious governmental system. It's a one world government and one world religious system, and it's a one world economic system. It's all in one. All of you have Social Security numbers, don't you? There, your citizen numbers in it and everything else. One of these days, during this period of time in the Western nations, is what it's talking about, the Antichrist is going to be over America, if America is in existence. He's going to be over all the Western nations. In those Western nations, you're going to have a citizen number. You won't be able to get a job. You won't have money anymore. Money is going to be a thing of the past. Gold and silver is nothing. Period. It's nothing. And there will be the hierarchy and there will be the peons. That's all there is. There's going to be a great migration of wealth from the masses to the elite. Only the elite will rule the world. Only the elite will have all the luxuries of life. The common man won't have anything but enough food to eat and cheap food every day. Her morality, and she avenges the blood of his bondservants on her. And the second time they said, Hallelujah, again, this is a Hebrew word. Hebraism's all over the Gospel of John. Her smoke rises up forever. The prayers of God's saints all through the ages have risen up to God, haven't they? You know that even the flames of hell will glorify God. They'll rise up. Rise up. Think about that. Hell is a necessity. Did you know that? Hell is a necessity. It's an absolute necessity. That's file 13 of the human and the angelic and the spiritual world. That's file 13. Forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits upon the throne, saying, Amen. What is that word, Amen? Where does it come from? That's what we call a translanguage. This is what we call a borrowed word, Amen. It comes from what? Where does it come from? Persian. It comes from Persian. It goes from Persian to what? Hebrew. It goes from Hebrew into Greek. And it goes from Greek into English, and it does not change. Same word, same thing with the word paradise. It came from Persian. It went into Hebrew. It went into Greek. And now it's in English. And the word paradise means what? That's what the Garden of Eden was, paradise. What was a paradise? What does that mean? A guarded pleasure park. A guarded pleasure park. All right, what does amen say? Mean? Amen. I'll stand behind it. It means a firm foundation. It means to stand up to support. Okay? All right. God who sits upon the throne saying amen and hallelujah. Verse number 5. And a voice came from the throne saying, where? A voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God. Eloheinu. That's what it is. This is what we call Hebrew in the genitive case. Our God. The God that we belong to and the God that belongs to us. You know, when you get saved, God belongs to you. And you belong to God. Because when you get saved, Spirit God comes and dwells in you and it's an inseparable part of you. How many ever cowboyed a little bit? Anybody cowboy? You know what a brand is? You know what an earmark is? You're branded by God forever. Indelibly. You're huiothesia in Greek. Huiothesia. How many of you know what huiothesia? It comes from huios and thesia. Or tithemi. What's that mean, Brother Roger? Huios. That's heir. Thesia. It means you're placed as an heir of God. When you're born again, you become an heir of God. You become a son. We're adopted as sons. Give praise to our God and all you His bond servants. Bond, young people like to be called slaves, but that's what it is. All His slaves. We are slaves of God. If we're born again, we're His slaves. And you who fear Him, small and great. The beginning of knowledge is what? The fear of the Lord. Number 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah. Look at that one again. Another Hebraism. This chapter is full of Hebraism. But what it's doing is telling us about the person of God. Who sits on the throne in the throne room? Jehovah. All right? Jehovah. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. That means praise Jehovah. For the Lord, our God. Jehovah Elohim, full of Hebraism. Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah means what? What does Jehovah mean? It comes from a little Hebrew word. It's a verb. All right? That's it right there. That's the Hebrew verb. All right? Page 214 and 243, or 224 and 243. And here we have the word Jehovah right there that comes right out of it. And what does this mean here, Brother Roger?
To become.
So what does Jehovah mean?
The one who shall become.
The one who shall become became in space and time. John 1:14 was a fulfillment of the Jehovah title. You take this to your Jehovah Witness, friendly neighborhood Jehovah Witness. Even if he'll accept it, but I'll guarantee you what, you can prove to him from the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation who Jehovah is, and that's Jesus, who they say is Archangel Michael, that little created God. That's not, he's not the little created God, he's the creator. Jehovah is.
What verse in 19 says Jehovah was Jesus?
The whole chapter. Let's go on with it. Right there where we were. Amen, hallelujah, and voice from the verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, to our God and all you, His bondservants who fear Him, small and great. Verse number 6, and I heard, as it were, a voice out of great multitude, sound of many waters and sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord, Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God, El Shaddai, is the next Hebraism. El Shaddai, what does El Shaddai mean? God Almighty. What does the book of James call Jesus? It means the all-nourishing one, but the Almighty also. What does the book of James? James was written by Jesus' brother. What does James call Jesus in the book of James? He calls him El Shaddai. El Shaddai. All many Jehovah titles are in the 19th chapter. This right here is Jesus. El Shaddai is Jesus. You look in the New Testament, you're going to see God Almighty. Every place in the New Testament where it says God Almighty, it's referring to El Shaddai. And that's Jesus. God Almighty reigns. The God Almighty reigns. Now who's going to reign? Jesus is going to reign. All right? Verse number 7 now. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Now, if you go back up here at verse number 4, you see the 24 elders, and you see four living creatures fell down and worshiped God. The 24 elders, who do you think they describe? The 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. That's who the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. Okay? Down here it says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. The marriage of the Lamb, the gumnos, or gymnos. All right? The marriage of the Lamb has come. Who's the Lamb? Who's the Lamb? Jesus. It's the word omnos there, which means the sacrificial Lamb. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. John, when he saw Jesus, he was standing near the seashore or the shore of the Jordan. He said, behold, what? The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Okay? The marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride, look at this now. Salvation is of God, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to repeat this 1,000 times so you can understand it. Many people think they know who the church is. The church is not all the saved. The church is the elect of the saved that have followed the Lord in every way that they know true. They've got scriptural baptism, and they've given their lives, all of their life, to serve the Lord. There's a lot of people that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb that are saved. Old Testament and New Testament, saved people. But they're not part of the bride. The bride is a special group of people. Let's look and see what she says here. Now, salvation is of God, isn't it? You can't do anything to get saved, can you? You can't do anything to get born again. God calls you, God saves you. Doesn't He? Okay? But something's wrong here with this verse. What does this verse say that this is not possible? It's talking about salvation. What's wrong here? Let's read this. Let's read it together now. All right? For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride what? Say it, all of you. His bride has made herself ready. What's wrong with that? It's not about salvation. This is not about salvation. This is talking about service. This is talking about the bride is going to rule and reign with Christ forever. And the bride is made up of those faithful people through the church age that have done that. There's a lot of people in the world that are saved that never have had scriptural baptism. There are a lot of people that are saved that don't have any baptism at all. Salvation is when you repent of your sins and call upon God to save your soul. There's a lot of people out there like that. The scriptural baptism was handed down from church to church all the way down through the whole ages. Remember I told you that we're number 5, number 8, and number 15 in the world? You know what classes those were about? Church history. Marilyn, when she started going to church history, she was a Methodist and she was lost. I mean, when she started studying. She got saved. And then she was baptized and she became a confirmed Baptist, she said, after she studied church history. Church history will theologically put you on the right foundation and it will confirm who you are and why you believe what you believe. Very important. That's the most downloaded classes out there. I think church history number 1, even the old classes were like 1,000 downloads on that, and there's just going like that right now. Put them out on video. The old classes. For the bride has made herself ready. Now that is an aorist tense. Alright? It's indicative mode. Alright? And it's active voice. All right? But it has a third person reflexive third person reflexive pronominal adjective. And that means she has made herself ready. She made herself ready. You don't get yourself to heaven. But I'll guarantee you what you do for the Lord in this world right now, it matters forever. It matters forever. What you do for the Lord and how you do it matters forever. Period. It is has to do with how your standing would be with God, far away or close up. How would you like to sit on up there by the throne with Him? It's going to cost you everything to do that. It's going to cost you everything. No missionaries out there that are giving their lives and things like that. Yeah, something like that. We went to some of the missionaries that got one out and gave their lives. Lives given, not taken. Remember when I did that little series? The Lord all God He made, and His bride has made herself ready. This doesn't have anything to do with salvation. This is talking about service, and this is talking about eternity with the Lord. Every class I end it with what? Go out and do something eternal. It's very important that you go out and do something eternal. Extremely important. You can go out there and fiddle your life away, piddling around doing things that the rest of the world does, or you can do something eternal that's going to follow you in heaven. Because He will. Whatever you do, it's going to matter. All right. Verse number 8. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is righteous acts of the saints. The righteous acts of the saints. We're not talking about salvation here, are we? This isn't the subject of salvation. When we're saved, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. But this is what? The righteous acts of the saints. So really, big problems with people that don't have the theology straight. You can really get messed up with this, because if you think salvation is in the church, like Catholicism teaches, alright, or the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, or whatever you want to call it. Verse number 9, and He said to me, write, blessed are those who are what? Invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are guests at the wedding. These are not the bride. This isn't the bride. These are guests at the wedding. And He said to me, these are true words of God. In other words, what? This is fact. This is not maybe. This is fact. Verse number 10. And I fell at His feet to worship Him, and He said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours, and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All right? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's true. That's what we call true prophecy of God. And this book is a book of prophecy. Now let's look at number 11. This is like a subtitle in this thing. It's talking about the coming of Christ. And I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse. Now in Revelation, you go back in the first part of the book of Revelation, we have another guy on a white horse, don't we? Who was the other guy on the white horse? Huh? The other guy on the white horse was the Antichrist. The other guy on the white horse is the person of Satan. The very person of Satan. He cohabits with a woman and brings forth a Messiah. A false Messiah. This false Messiah. He's tangible. He could be in the world today. He could be in the world today. We don't know. But he could be alive and going up in politics. He's going to be a politician, I guarantee you that much. Because they really learn how to lie. They're real good at it. And he's probably going to be a lawyer too. There's two strikes. And he's going to be the son of Satan. There's the last deadly one. And I saw heaven. I've known a lot of lawyers that I thought were sons of Satan. And I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse. He has sat upon it. It is called Faithful. Faithful. That's full of faith. And true. Aletheia. What does the word aletheia mean? Aletheia in Greek. Aletheia. That's a beautiful word. Aletheia. What does that word mean? You remember that, Dr. John? How about you, Roger? Who said that? No shadows. Thank you very much. You get A+ for today. No shadow. It's in the light. Every way he stands out, perfectly inspected. Perfectly inspected. All right. Called faithful and true and righteousness. There was a king in the Old Testament. His name was Melchizedek. Melchizedek. What does Melchizedek mean? Melech Kaseh. King of righteousness. Here is a true king of righteousness. Melchizedek was a type of Christ to come. All right. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, didn't he? All right. True in righteousness, he judges. And what else does he do? He wages war. Here is the war of the worlds. Here is the war of the two seeds. The seed of Satan and the seed of God are at war. Well, this is something, isn't it? This is a powerful, tremendous war. The war of two, what we call universal powers. Satan has access to all the universe, doesn't he, except the throne of God. And he had the access to the throne of God, too, even after he had fallen, according to the book of Job. He's in the world. He's called what? He's called the God of this world, little God. The God of this earth. The prince and power of the air that we live in and breathe today. That's why we have so much trouble in the world, because Satan. But Satan's group, his army, is going to wage war with Jesus and his army. Verse number 12. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. All right, now Jesus, there's a crown on his head. The crown on his head is a Stephanos. Say Stephanos. Stephanos. Now, a Stephanos you get by what? This is you get by right of birth. That's the crown. But a diadem, a diademos. All right. What is that? That's a battle flag. That's the battles that you've won. The most decorated soldier in American history was Audie Murphy. He won more battles. He won every medal that America had to honor, plus people from Belgium and France. They gave him medals also. Those were, every one of those were diadems. All right? Plus he got the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's what the diadem is. These are his medals of honor. Medals of honor. And he has a name written upon him which has no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. What kind of blood? His robe is dipped in blood. Huh? His robe is dipped in blood. And his name is called what? His name is called what? What is it? Hathavar. Say Hathavar. Hathavar. And Hathavar in the Old Testament is who? Jesus. Jehovah. Alright? His name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Alright? John 1:1, John 1:14, John 1:18. And the armies. Now, does this answer your question, Brother Mike? Who is this? This is Jehovah is Jehovah is Jesus. All right? And it's going to get more plain all the time. On page 10 and 11 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, this is a Hebrew lexicon right here. Page 10 and 11 here. It talks all about Jehovah titles. And it talks about Revelation, the 19th chapter in here. It's all written up because I wrote it all up. Okay? But it talks about the title, this very special title of God Almighty, which we already saw. El Shaddai, Jehovah Elohim, which we already saw, and now we're going to run into another one which is extremely powerful. It is only for the whole, what we call the whole unity of God. Okay? The Word of God, and the armies which are in heaven, clothed in white, fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that With it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads out the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. Again, God Almighty. Who is God Almighty? This is El Shaddai, another Hebraism. Now let's look. The verse number 16 nails down who Jesus is. The 19th chapter of the book of Revelation tells you more about the person of God than any other chapter in the Bible. It describes Jesus more plainly and more distinctly than any other chapter. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. Say this, Adonai Ha-Adonaim. That is a Hebrew word, and that's exactly what this is. Now, I want you to go back to... I want a couple of people to go back in the Bibles. Okay? And Deuteronomy 10 and 17 and Psalm 136 and verse 3. Deuteronomy 10 and 17 and Psalm 136 and verse 3. Who has that? Now we could read. You see all those scriptures down there? I better put this on camera. They'll be looking at this 10,000 more times again. On page 10 and 11 in the Brown Driver Brigade. If you'd like to contribute to that. All right. Who's got that Deuteronomy 10:17? Who's got Deuteronomy 10? Dr. John, you want to come up here, brother? All right, Deuteronomy 10:17.
For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bride.
All right. That is really great. Let's read that together again. Let's, Brother John, brother, run back up here. Now, I want everybody to read that because this is an extremely important verse in the Bible. Read it very slowly so everybody all over the world can hear this.
For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bride.
All right, you got that? That's Jesus. Okay? That's Jesus. Now, let's look for the other one. Where was the other one? Psalm what? Psalm 1, 36 and verse 3. Psalm 136 and verse 3. Who's got Psalm 136 and verse 3? Young lady, you have that up here. 136 and verse 3. Could you come up here? Psalm 136 and verse 3.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever.
All right. Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. This is what we call the God of the man of loving kindness. The man of loving kindness is also a tribute to Jesus, the man of loving kindness. All right? Now let's go on. And on his thigh he has a name written, King of King and Lord of Lords. King of King and Lord of Lords. Adon, or Adon. Let me read here what it says. Adon. To make firm, to fasten. All right, to determine, to command, to rule, to lay low, everything is inferior to this person. Everything is inferior. It means to lay low. All right, to put under command and rule over. It is to distinguish divine reference. It's to distinguish a divine reference. It means Lord and Master. The superintendent of a household or the superintendent of all affairs. It means Ha Adonai Jehovah. This term is similar or equal to Adonai Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah. Okay? The Lord of the whole earth and of the whole cosmos. The Lord of the whole universe. That's who Jesus is. All right. Master, Lord and Master. All right? The governor of all things. Israel was referred to as Jehovah was her Lord and Master, and she was his bride. Israel forever lost the right to be the bride of God. And he gave it to the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles are coming into the bride. All right? The Gentiles. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried out with a loud voice in verse 17, saying to all the birds who fly in mid heaven, come and assemble to the great supper of God. The birds that fly in mid heaven, what is that? Mid heaven. What's mid heaven? It's called the atmosphere. The atmosphere. Atmosphere means what? That's where there's oxygen. They fly up. Birds only fly so high, don't they? Where oxygen is. All right, the birds that fly in mid heaven. Why do vultures? What do vultures do? You ever see vultures? California condors is a big vulture, you know. You know they're great big. I was guiding the guy up on Tejon Ranch. I used to be a hunting guy, and well, all over the place in the White Mountains and the Greenhorns and all over the place. Rhodes Inn, Tejon Ranch, all over the place. I was up there, and this was when there just the last few of the wild condors were there. And I told my friend, I said, look, that's one of the most magnificent sights you'll ever see. He said, I'm looking for deer. I said, that's more important than a deer. That's a wild condor with the last few in the world. Period. This is before they caught them, you know, and put them in captivity and rebred them, started turning them loose again. They were almost extinct. I said, there is a live condor. He was looking for food. He was looking for food. Birds of prey look for food. All right, now this may sound pretty crazy, but I proved it to Fodi. Fodios Kyriakopoulos, that's what his name was, and I was guiding. If you go on the website, you'll see his trophy room. A lot of those trophies in that trophy room I got for him. We were up there, and I told him how to. He said, boy, he said, you're an Indian. Like I never saw anybody in my life. He said, you live and breathe the outdoors. He said, you can see things. You can smell a deer. I can smell deer. And you can smell deer, too, if you've got a good enough sense of smell. I can tell you how to do that. Learn how to do that. But I could smell a deer, and I could tell him it was a buck or a doe. He said, how do you do that? I said, well, I've killed and skinned a lot of bucks and does, and there's a different smell in them. And if you do that enough, you will smell them like that. When you get that whiff, you'll know what they are, just like that. The Indians, whatever they wanted to smell, they'd eat it. Eat a rattlesnake. You'll learn how to smell a rattlesnake. I can smell a rattlesnake. You can do these things. You can be trained to do this. Anyway, I was up there, and I had this hawk, this red-tailed hawk used to follow me around. He knew my yellow Jeep pickup. And when he would see my yellow Jeep pickup coming, I'd always leave something for him. When I'd kill a deer, and I killed a lot of deer up there, I'd always leave part of the liver or something for that hawk to eat. And that hawk would go up there, and he'd start circling around. And wherever he was circling, like a vulture, that's where a group of deer were. He was telling on them. I said, watch that hawk. I said, when we went into Home Ranch, I said, you watch that hawk. He's going to follow me. Oh, you're crazy. You know, that's what he told me. I got up there in this one canyon up there, and the hawk had followed us all the way, and he's all over these mountains, all over like that, but he kept circling up on this one hill up on Tunis Ridge. Up on that hill. I said, there's deer up there. He said, how are you going to see a deer that far off? I said, let's get our spotting scope out. So we got out there and we got a spotting scope. It's about 1,000, 1,200 yards away. That's a long way. And I looked up there and I said, there's a buck. And I said, he keeps circling around that buck. I said, I'm going to get that buck. I said, that one's mine. He's a young buck and I want him. I said, we'll get you a big deer later. But I said, I got to feed that hawk for what he did. So anyway, I got out there with my 300 Winchester Magnum and I clicked it up with that target scope on it like that. And he said, if you hit that deer from this distance, he said, I'll go get it. I said, one of us is going to have to go get it because it's too far away. We'll never find it. I had a bear claw necklace on. You know, I used to wear them all the time. Anyway, I got out there and I watched. There was no mirages. There was no wind. This was about 6 o'clock in the morning. There was nothing. Nothing was stirring. So then I didn't have to worry about windage or anything. So I just clicked it up about 1,200 yards from my scope, where I knew 1,200 yards was. And I sat there and he said, "You ain't going to hit that." I sat up there like that and pulled that trigger, and that deer just went flop. He danced around there and he said, "I can't believe it. I've never seen anything like this in my life." I said, "Well, go get him." It was all uphill. He went up there and he rode that deer all the way down. He knocked half the hair off and rided it down. When he got down there, he said, "Can I borrow that necklace you got on?" He said, "There's got to be magic in this somewhere." I let him have the necklace. He wouldn't let me have it back either. He thought he took that hunting with him ever since. When he went to Africa, he wanted me to go to Africa with him. I said, "I'm not African. I'm an Indian." All right, now it calls these birds in the air, like I watched that red-tailed hawk. He's looking at the birds in the air. Birds, you know, animals aren't brainless people. They think. Don't you ever think they don't? You ever had a dog or a cat? They should have trained you. A lot of people can't handle cats because they're smarter than they are. Which part of the story?
You said
that. Oh, of course I did. I gave him part of the liver, and I always left the heart there, and the animal buried that. All right. Come and assemble for the great supper of God. Number 18. In order that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and those who sat upon the horses, and the flesh of all men, both free and slaves, and small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies. The beast, look at that. Who's that? Another term for the Antichristo, son. The beast. In Hebrew, or not in Hebrew, but in Greek, it's Theirion. What's Theirion? What's the word Theirion mean? Remember, you Greek scholar, remember that, Brother David? Theirion. That's a swift-running, killing machine. Like a leopard, a cheetah, a lion, or a great white shark in the ocean. And the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. The first inhabitants of eternal hellfire is who? All right. And eternal hellfire, you can look that one up, Revelation 20 and 10. See, that's the next chapter over there. Revelation 27 through 9 is where old Satan is sown in there and kept there for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, or this lake of fire. The first inhabitants and the rest who were killed with a sword that came from the mouth of him who sat upon the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. All the birds. How do you teach a dog to do tricks? You give him treats. Same thing with horses. Same thing with birds. Same thing with everything. That's what I did with a hawk. Every time. You can train things in the wild. You can train wild animals. Wild animals. And Lord, we just studied the book of Jonah on Sunday afternoon. Does God care for animals, Brother Roger? Do animals have souls? They do. That's what the Hebrew Bible says. They have souls. They are nephesh souls. It's psyche in Greek. Nephesh in Hebrew, psyche in Greek. Do you have any questions about this at all? Have any questions here? We have the doom of the beast and the false prophet. All right. Now, how about the name of God? Have you got any misunderstanding that Jesus isn't Jehovah God? Huh? I mean, that's as plain as a nose on your face. Jesus is El Shaddai. If you go to the website, discovertheword.com or discovertheword.drjim.com. If you go on there, it'll say Jehovah titles are names of God. and you go down there and you can read every one of them. Jesus fulfills them all. He is our Savior. He is our God. He is our healer. All right, all of these terms that in the Old Testament, He is Jehovah Shammah. He is the Lord that is here, the Lord that's with us. All of those titles. Every one of the Jehovah titles, Jesus fulfilled.
Any website for specific Jehovah Witness Bible?
Okay, there are 9 classes on sermon audio. There are not on the other ones yet. But I put them on sermon audio. They're edited. They're out there. They've got good audio. And I was teaching classes on Jehovah's Witnesses. There are 9 whole classes. Now, some of these classes are 95 minutes long. Okay, some of them are very long. And they're on video. Okay, and they're on audio. They're both. You can go there. And I get up and I introduce the class. And I had Brother Mike get up here. And then he would tell, he was in the Watchtower. He was part of it. He was a Jehovah's Witness for many years. And when they said the end of the world was coming in 1975, when the end of the world didn't come, they had all kinds of excuses why it didn't come. You know, a lot of those people sold all their property and everything else, and they put it in that one great big assembly hall over there on Brundage. They were combining all those and everything. They were going to just go in and no windows and all this kind of stuff. You know, they thought the end of the world was coming. But anyway, he left the Jehovah's Witness. He began to come and he came to my classes where I studied Greek and, you know, teach Greek and Hebrew with him. And he just got stronger and stronger in the Lord. He's been on many mission trips and everything. But he will get up there and he will tell you all the things about holidays. You'll see there what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe about holidays and birthdays and what, you know, every subject as you can think of that Jehovah's Witnesses differ from the Bible. He will get up there and give it, and then I will get up afterwards and go into the Scriptures, like Revelation, the 19th chapter, John 1:1, John 1:14, John 1:18. All these things, they're all there. If you want to go study that, I mean, you've got a library of things, too. If you want to study about church history, it's there. If you want to study about the Jehovah's Witness cult, it's there. Whatever you want to study about parables, it's on there. All of this stuff, I'm trying to get all of it organized in orders. It's organized on discovertheword.com and discovertheword.com. But anyway, you can go there and get all of it. Okay? Nothing else. Who's going to be our Brother David? I'll try to have this class out on the website so you can study it after a while.
Okay, on our announcements today, on Sunday, August 24th is the roundup.